Okay, as we bring in the retired HBO Godfather Larry Merchant, this is sort of like, who's singing that tune, Larry? Got any idea?
Well, I know the tune, but I don't know who the singer is.
It's not Benny King. Of course, Benny King made that a number one hit on the rock and roll charts. But that's Cassius Marcellus Clay.
Now that you say it, I hear it clearly.
he was multi-talented, but unlike Joe Frazier, Joe couldn't hold a note if you put it in an envelope.
You know, I saw Ali when he performed on Broadway in mm-hmm. a play.
Mm-hmm.
It was called The Big Something. And it was sort of amazing watching him. It was at a time when he wasn't fighting because of the government embargo. So he was able to perform on 50th Street in New York City, but not on 33rd Street where Madison Square Garden was at the time. And I was constantly amazed at his ability to fall into different lives. A friend of mine, a dear friend, Stan Hockman, who was a sports writer in Philadelphia for 50 years, once told me that he came in to his house and performed the whole show for him, years and years and years after he performed on Broadway.
Are you talking about Stan Hoffman?
Yes.
Huffin' Stan Hoffman, the guy from New York City?
No, Stan Hockman.
Oh, okay. I got that wrong. So, All right.
Terrific writer and reporter. I brought him in from San Bernardino after I read a boxing piece he wrote, and I put his column in my desk and promised myself the next time there was an opening, I'd hire him. I did. He stayed for 50 years, long after I left Philadelphia.
You know, we were talking about Cassius Clay there when Muhammad Ali was Cassius Clay singing. I think every heavyweight champion besides Liston and Marciano have tried singing. I mean, Joe Frazier, Larry Holmes, I go on. Mike Weaver, I keep going. Ken Norton.
Well, that's an easy one, Pedro. Singing is easier than fighting.
That's what Berry Gordy said. Berry Gordy, of course, was a bantamweight fighter out of Detroit. He was trained by the great late Eddie Futch, my buddy. And he went 13-2 with like four knockouts. He couldn't punch. But he said that, you know, the guys that were singing were getting the girls 24/7. He was only getting the girls every 7 weeks. In other words, after a training camp.
All right. Well, there were a lot of inspirations, but it was an easy gig between fights sometimes.
Okay. Speaking of easy gigs, you've downsized from 3,000 feet to 1,700 reported feet. Of course, I'm talking about moving from one spot to another down there in Southern California. How's that going?
Well, every time we dug out from the chaos, for a few weeks, all we did was find new chaos. And we're about 90% in. My daughter was a terrific manager of the move and hiring the right people. And it's very livable right now, but, you know, there are still things that happen to be taken care of. But I've been very lucky, and right now I'm sitting here in my office and looking out to Hawaii.
Okay, is this the same daughter that fast tracked the vaccine for you and the Godmama?
Yep.
And give
her. She takes care of us.
I guess she does. Let's give her some props. More power to. What's her name?
Julie Merchant.
Okay. Sometimes people don't want to go with their relatives' names on the air with Julie Merchant. Now, Godfather, you get a chance to see Devin Haney in action last night?
No, but I watched the bantamweight fight.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second. 38 years old, quite an impressive performance for the kid from across the bay, San Leandro, California, considering he knocked out Viktor Chinian in 2007. And that was 7-7-2007. I guess that was his lucky day. He should have bought a lottery ticket, 7-7-0-0-7. But last night, at the age of 38 years old, beating out a younger guy. But some people were not all that impressed with the skills of the WBC champion coming in.
Well, there are so many titles out there, and subtitles, and other titles, that unless you're a very close observer of the boxing scene, all you know is you're getting some kind of a title at stake. And that's the business side of the game. There are multiple titles in each division, not just in the four major
sanctioning bodies.
Yeah. But within them, it's so that's why you hear so much about fighters trying to unify the titles.
But don't titles or trinkets. Remember back in the days when I was a writer of note, God, 20 years ago, I used to call it a belt a trinket. I mean, trinkets are important for a boxer's psyche and eventually his pocketbook.
Yep. And look, it's always existed. Once upon a time, there were rankings of state fighters in Indiana, in California,
yeah,
in Pennsylvania, in New York. And all of this was a way of trying to distinguish which boxers out there had a shot, and also a way to attract an audience. And so it's always gone on, but not to the international degree it is today.
If you invest in the amateur program, you will get better pros. England is a classic example of that. Josh Taylor last week, he definitely won against your boy Jose Ramirez down there from Central California. It was a good fight, but the kid from England showed he's a little bit different.
Yeah, and I thought it was better than a good fight. I thought it was a hell of a fight. And I thought it was one of those fights where you know who won, but the loser really didn't lose. Ramirez finished strong after getting knocked down twice. And so it goes. We've had some excellent fights recently. Pedro, Alvarez.
Canelo.
Canelo in his fight against the Brit. I thought last night we had a pretty good fight. I didn't see the Haney fight. You could tell me about it.
Haney got shook a couple times, but he won a 12-round decision, 115-113 was the closest card. The other two judges had 8-4 in rounds.
You know, I'm sitting here, and I forgot the name of the bantamweight.
Nonito Donaire.
Donaire. I thought he, you know, in the fight we were talking about before, the champion beat an old ex-champion, Linares, to be expected. But here we find Donaire, who is an ex-champion, beating some kid who had a lot of bounce, but Donaire just knew exactly what he was doing with him. By the way, Donaire's wife was in the corner.
Rachel Donaire.
I didn't know that was going on.
she is a very strong personality. Can you grasp what I'm trying to say there?
No, I am. When we used to have fighter meetings, she would come to the fighter meetings with Donaire. Before our fights to prepare for the show, And she was a very strong personality. And apparently they've broken down his skills and plans, and she was reminding him of what they had hoped to do and blah, 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 and he did it.
You know, there are Godfather, I hate to interrupt you, but there are promoters and managers across the world that hate her guts.
Really? Why is that?
Because she stands up for her man.
You mean in negotiations?
Yeah, she was the actual manager.
Wow. That's a story. Somebody's missing that story.
No, she's an assertive lady, and she's in control, no doubt about that. The retired HBO Godfather Larry Mercer is going to stick with us for another break for us, surviving the move down there in Southern California, City of Angels, from one spot to the beach. Checking out, he's looking in Hawaii, baby. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
So good, I got to hear. Oh, I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
So nice, so nice, I got you.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Check it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, make that 40 minutes past the hour. Hour number two, of course, Sunday edition. 2 hours. We start at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. The retired HBO Godfather from Southern California. I'm talking about Mr. Larry Merchant is in the house. He's also in his new house. Congrats to that. Larry, 1973, Joe Frazier, of course, lost the heavyweight championship to George Foreman. And the Oakland A's with Charlie Finley, their owner. I remember him real closely, real fondly around here. Won the World Series for the second year in a row. But I thought the star of 1973 was a horse in Secretariat. Was I wrong? Am I wrong?
No, I agree with you. Secretariat was, as an agent in show business one told me, was the kind of leading character whose name would be above the title of the movie he was in or the book he wrote. He was a superstar, and an unforgettable beast.
That, you know, I remember him winning, I guess was it the Belmont Stakes? Is that the final of the three?
Yeah, what, 30 lengths, 50 lengths?
Something like that. I mean, it was like there was such a distance. I was working in the barber college here in San Francisco in 1973, before I cut hair. My uncle ran the barber college here in the city, and I used to work there on Saturdays. And I'm watching this horse race, and my uncle's saying, take care of the cash register. And I'm saying, look at this horse, look at this horse. And he couldn't see it, because the bottom line was I needed to ring up these haircuts, okay? But he couldn't see what I was seeing. I was watching sports history right in front of me.
Well, you know how racetrack announcers say, and down the stretch they come?
Yeah,
case, it was down the stretch he comes.
Yeah,
was so far ahead of everyone.
All by himself. Now, Godfather, my cousin Al Fernandez up there, we went to a party yesterday at Dave & Buster's for one of the kids, Jay turned 14. And he was talking all kinds of smack that, you know, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder are going to fight a third time. So he said he was going to get bet big on Wilder. So I said to him, I've got 500. He said, how big do you want to go? And then he started squirming. So what I'm trying to tell you is that this is people are talking about the big fight, the heavyweight fight, Wilder and Fury. But people give the street fighter, I think, more creds than he should get. He lost 17 of the 19 rounds, and if not for the three punches that he landed in those two rounds, the combination of 1 point and that single shot the other time, he wouldn't have won those rounds.
Well, that's a round-by-round analysis, but in fact, both fights were entertaining.
Okay.
And people see them as elite heavyweights, which they are. Mm-hmm. And if we get another entertaining fight and then it leads to a bigger fight, that's all good.
You know, Canelo Alvarez added 400,000 buys or 400,000 members to the DAZN a couple of weeks ago. Imagine if HBO had those. I mean, if HBO was back in the boxing game. And here's what I'm saying. And I'll bring this up. I'll ask you this again because you know Showtime still doing boxing. Is there any chance of HBO ever resurrecting a boxing program?
Is there still an HBO? I just read about AT&T selling off parts of themselves. These are the people who came in with a grand plan, which included eliminating boxing, which had been such a winner for them over the decades. So I don't know. They used to say they would leave it open and that they weren't going 100% out of the business, but so far they have.
You know, I remember that female CEO was hired at USA Cable when USA Cable was doing great numbers on Tuesday night as far as the USA Tuesday Night Fights were concerned. Not some of the greatest fights in the world, but everybody tuned in because that's what you did. Anyway, they were doing great numbers. She came in. She said it wasn't a good image for the network, and she dumped boxing. Yikes.
That's showbiz. That's so it goes. And that's presumably why they brought her in.
Okay.
To take a big overview and decide what they're selling.
Okay. Teofimo Lopez getting around $4 million to fight George Cambosos when Bob Arum laid out a plan for him. He was only getting about $1.7 million. The fact that he's making almost three times as much or more than twice as much going with these tech guys, this and that. I'm for guys getting money, Godfather. I really don't care who promotes the fight. I mean, Bob Arum got $700,000 to step aside. But the bottom line is, if these guys want to give more money to the fighters, I'm down with that.
Look, the fighters put themselves on the line. Very few of them escape without damage. They're there to entertain us. They're there to show what the human spirit is like, and they deserve the money because their careers, for the most part, are going to be very short. But when you get into the elite categories, they're expecting more than a lot of money. They want a lot of money.
Well, and I think they should get a lot of money because, you know, I mean,
If they're selling it and people are buying it, absolutely.
But look
how well Floyd Mayweather did for himself when his fights went streaming or when people were willing to put up a lot of money to have him in their yard.
You know, but. Well, the excitement stopped when the bell rang. I'm not a big Mayweather fan, so I mean,
I agree.
I have a hard time bringing him into the mix as far as the all-time greats and things like that are concerned. I don't want to say he has an asterisk next to him, but I'll just say he was a good 135 pounder, and that was.
I agree with you, but in terms of making money, and boxing is a business as well as a sport. I don't think anybody in boxing history has made as much money as he has.
Okay, so is he exposing the boxing promoters as being pimps then? I mean, the fact that he's able to make all this money if he had a promoter, he wouldn't have made that kind of money?
Well, he had a unique background with all those family members who were boxers.
Mm-hmm.
And they steered him in a certain direction, and he is very shrewd about matchmaking and the business side of it, and struck a note coming along at a time when there were no American heavyweights and no American stars, and he made it work.
Okay.
That's another story from... As I used to say, and as you just said, the entertainment stops once the first bell rings.
Yeah, well, but you know what, Larry? As many as you and I feel that way, there are people that feel the exact opposite of us, and they're enlightened by his boxing performance. So I'll just let it go at that. Andre Ward has one chin. Do you know what that means, Larry?
No.
Well, he had two chins for a while there. In other words, he's losing weight. He's getting in shape. I suspect he's going to try to make a move at Canelo.
Well, that's a good suspicion. And probably could make more money than he ever made in his career because he was not a box office star.
Yep. He's probably a bigger star at ESPN and behind the mic there at HBO than he was than he was as an actual boxer. But they're talking about he looks like he's training, and I guess the fight would have to go at 168 pounds. He'd have to come down to 168 pounds and meet Canelo. And my word was, I wouldn't, if I was Canelo and Ward wanted to come back and fight me, I'd say first fight only, but I wouldn't give him a tune-up fight. I wouldn't allow him to get his skills back. In other words, I would just take advantage of him. Do you feel me on that?
No.
Okay.
I think it could be to Canelo's advantage if he goes out there and puts on a good fight or two to show that he's ready to take on the best fighter in the world.
Okay, but the Canelo's people don't want to lose, and Andre Ward has the talent and the size to possibly beat him.
Well, he did when he was fighting regularly or semi-regularly, but he's been away from boxing for how long? 3-4 years now?
Good point. Jermell Charlo, the WBC middleweight champion, undefeated, of course, one of the Charlo brothers, and of course, Charlo's mom, a very distinct personality in the world of boxing. He's got to go to 168 if he wants to become a superstar and fight Canelo, correct?
Yes, and I suspect he's on Canelo's dance list. It's about making a good fight and making the most money, and everybody from light heavyweight down to junior middleweight has ambitions to fight Canelo.
Okay. Yeah. Earl Spence and Manny Pacquiao, looks like that fight's going to go down in August. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I didn't think that Manny had a chance against his last opponent.
Myself, too.
I don't think he's got a chance against his next opponent, but he won his last fight. And Manny is another story, another character. And if he can still come out once every year and a half and write and be a reasonable facsimile of himself, maybe he will do better than I think he would.
Okay. If Mayweather gets bounced around by this Logan Paul guy, this 0-1 guy, I looked at him, he looks like a lumberjack with a beard, or maybe a guy from an Amish community with a beard. But if he gets bounced, that would be the ultimate embarrassment for him. Do you think that there's any chance of that, or is he just, as he played it, so safe that as there's no chance? What do you think?
Mayweather will cut him up.
Cut him up. Okay, and make a bunch of money doing it.
Yep.
Okay, so how's the godmama reacted to the move? How's she feeling?
Well, we're sitting out here and enjoying the view and settling in and finding out where the best restaurants around are and trying to learn the neighborhood. And we have a lot of friends in Santa Monica. We're still Santa Monicans. So I think that this is a good move at this stage of our lives.
Always insightful, the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant, the husband of Patricia Stitch Merchant. See, I got that name right. Say hello to the godmama for me.
Thank you so much, Pedro.
The one, the only, Larry Merchant on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.